with that today. So we lift them up, Lord, and we just pray, Lord, that you would just give them safety. And as rescue efforts and different things afterwards happen, Lord, we pray that you would just give your guiding hand and empower the Christians to do work there as well. So we're thankful for that. We just pray now, Lord, for our time together as we study in your word. Pray that it opens our eyes and our hearts and our minds to see what you have for us. I'm thankful again for each person here, and I just pray, Lord, that you would just help each one of us understand your truths. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So today we're starting this new series, and it's called Why? And it's an apologetic series, or in other words, a series about defending our faith. And the reason why I'm calling it Why is because the people that you and I interact with on a daily basis have questions about God and faith and Christianity and the Bible. So the people that ask why are often the people that are actually curious. They want to know why. They're not antagonistic. They're not fighting. They're not looking for a debate. They just want to know why. They want to know why we believe what we believe, and we need to be equipped to answer those questions. So they want to know the answers to the questions of life, and they want to know why we believe what we believe. So in this series, it's going to do two things for you. The first is it's going to equip you to answer these questions. It's going to better equip you to answer these questions, because I know that many times in life, you're a little afraid, you know what I mean? Like, what if this comes up? I don't know what to say. Has anybody ever felt like that before? You're kind of a little bit timid, afraid that you might not know the answer to the questions. And second, what it's going to do is it's also going to bring more clarity if you have these questions and have struggled with the answers. I know that in my life, some of the best study I've done is when I have the question as well. So when you look at your life and the questions and the things that you desire to be answered, it's going to equip you. The more you study, the more you're going to be equipped. But before we get into the first topic slash question, I want you to remind you of what 1 Peter 3:15 says. It says this: always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that's in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. So this is a call to the believer to be prepared, to be ready, to be well studied. But notice this. Notice the composure issues that Peter deals with. He says, do it with gentleness and respect. Now, I want to appeal to you a little bit, because the scriptures tell someone who spiritually does not trust in Jesus, it actually says that they are lost and they are blind. They're lost and they are blind. And I've used these examples before, but I think they're helpful for us to remember this. If you go into a department store and you see a 5-year-old kid that's crying and they're lost, how do you treat that kid? How do you treat them? Do you go up to them and be like, what's the matter with you? Can't keep an eye on your parents? You wouldn't do that. If you did, hopefully they'd throw you out of the store because you're weird, okay? You would never treat a lost child like that, would you? What if you saw a blind person trying to cross a 4-lane highway? Would you be like, oh, I hope that goes well for him. Let's see how it goes. I mean, that's terrible. You would never do something like that. But unfortunately, sometimes we don't look at unbelieving people as lost and blind, and we don't treat them with gentleness. The scriptures say we need to be gentle with them. We need to be gentle. We can't look at them and be mad at them. Why can't you understand this? We have to be gentle. They're lost. They're blind. Spiritually, they're struggling, and we as believers, our composure should be gentle. And many of you know people that have been turned off to the idea of church and Christianity because they're somebody who's not very gentle. They're actually irate. They're actually mean towards other people that don't believe like they believe and don't understand like they understand. The other issue here is this issue of respect. There are many different belief systems and people we engage with, and the conversations that we have, we will engage with people that hold strongly to those belief systems. We need to have respect for them, hear them out, and they will in turn hopefully see that respect and hear us out as well. We never want to disrespect other people's belief system and say things like, that's dumb, that's ridiculous. Because if someone was brought up to believe believe something or feel that they believe something strongly, the worst thing that we can do for the cause of Christ is ridicule them and make them feel silly for believing those things. We have to be respectful. Even if in the back of our mind we're thinking, this is ridiculous, this is silly, we have to respect them, hear them out. And oftentimes when you're willing to hear them out, they're more willing to hear you out. For example, if someone believes a certain behavior is wrong, so here's what we do. We respect them, and we might even actually appeal them to question their belief system. By way of example, if someone believes a certain, say if somebody believes a certain behavior is wrong, but it's not against the law, maybe you can ask them, instead of saying, yeah, that's wrong because the Bible says it's wrong, maybe you can ask them, who makes up the rules? Why do you believe that's wrong? What is wrong about that behavior? Where did you get that standard, that baseline, that guideline to say that's wrong? Why do you feel that's wrong? So basically what you're asking them to do is actually asking them to think about why they believe what they believe. Now, if you study the life of Jesus, you know that when people asked him questions, what did he do? He asked questions back, didn't he? He didn't always answer the question hard and fast. He actually asked them questions back. And when people have to answer questions based upon their belief system, it starts to make them think. It starts to make them question what they believe. And that's actually a good thing. And I truly do believe when somebody is really sincerely asking the why, when they're really asking the why, that God's Holy Spirit will help work on their life. Now, I do want to make this comment as well before we really get into this whole series is, you realize this, and you need to realize this. It's somebody coming to faith is not dependent on you, okay? God's Holy Spirit does the work. God uses you and I as tools in his hand to actually bring the word to other people, to actually help people understand. So you are just placed in the places to serve God the best you can. So our goal is to engage the unbelieving world to think about and question their own belief system so they start looking deeper for the answers. And I believe those answers only are going to be found in the one true God, his word, and the one who laid down his life for us. And his name is Jesus. So the first question we're going to deal with, and this, like I packaged this question, I did a lot of studying and outside material and stuff, Tim Keller, Norman Geisler, C.S. Lewis, a lot of people that deal with this type of stuff, very like, you know, philosophical, intellectual people that have come to faith because they had questions. So this first question, what I'm going to do is, it's a question, but it comes in many ways, shapes, and forms under this big heading, and that's this. Why can't I be free to do what I want as long as it doesn't harm anyone else? Have you ever heard somebody say that? Why can't I be free to do what I want as long as it doesn't harm anyone else? If you've ever interacted with an unbelieving person that's thinking about wrong or right, they may have said this. This is a common question or attitude, especially in our culture, because of this little word, free, right? Or let me make that word a little bigger, freedom. Because we live in the land of the what? Free. And the home of the brave. But I want to ask you a question. Which do you think people in our culture desire more? Freedom for themselves, freedom or bravery? Which do you think? Freedom or bravery? I would lean towards most people think, okay, freedom is more important than bravery. And I would suggest this, and here's why. Brave people actually have to sacrifice for the benefit of other people. Wouldn't you agree with that? Brave people have to sacrifice for the benefit of the other people. But free people, on the other hand, are the beneficiaries of the sacrifice. So in our culture, I mean, I am a lover of freedom. I think freedom is amazing. But in our culture, we hear this constantly. It's a free country. I could do what I want, right? And that freedom spills into many different areas. And some of those areas are in this line of thinking of saying, I'm free to do what I want as long as it doesn't harm anyone else. So now let's apply this to the Christian faith and why some have this question. The root of the question comes from this place. I want to be free to make my own rules. No one should tell me what those rules should be. So they look at God, the Bible, and the Christian faith and say, I don't like these commands, or I don't like those rules. I don't like those guidelines. Therefore, I will not accept them. But so I'm not seen as a bad person, I'll make up my own set of rules. And as long as they don't harm anybody else, I'm a good person. Okay, that's the line of thinking. Have you met people like this? Okay, that's a lot of our culture. So right or wrong, that's the mindset. That's the mindset. I don't like the rules of the Christian faith. I don't like the rules of the Bible. I don't like the rules of God. I'll make up my own rules, but I'm a good person, so I won't harm anybody else. So now, as we go on, there's a problem. There's a problem. When we are free to make our own rules, we will be a failure in two areas. And the first reason, the first area that we're going to be a failure is the rules will always be skewed to bow to the things we love, we want, and benefit us. Wouldn't you agree? Those are going to be the rules, the things that you love, that benefit you, and that you want or to pursue or your desire. The second reason it will fail is this. It's because the things that we want to pursue will not bring fulfillment that we thought we would have, and it leaves us wanting. So if you're trying to make your own rules for your life, here's what's going to happen. You're going to pursue things that you love, you desire, and this and that. And in that pursuit, here's what you're going to find out. Those things didn't bring the fulfillment that you thought. Talk to anybody, or you know, you just talk to yourself in this one. Have you ever really, really desired something, and then you finally achieved it or got it, and you're like, okay, next. Have you ever done that? It's going to be great when. If only this. So here's what happens when we have these desires and we have these wants or needs, well, not needs necessarily, but wants, when we try to pursue and make our own rules up, here we're going to fail in two areas. The one is it's going to bow to just us. We're going to benefit ourselves. And the other is we thought it was going to bring fulfillment, but it actually doesn't. So how, as a Christian, do we interact with people like this? And I think what it is we need to ask questions. We need to constantly be asking people questions when we're interacting with them. And the first is ask this question. Does only thinking of your personal freedom harm others? Does only thinking of your personal freedom harm others? And I would say the answer to that has to be, yes, it can. Because we can get so self-consumed with exercising our own freedom that we disregard the feelings of others. Sometimes we can just simply hurt somebody emotionally because we feel one way, they feel another way, and because we're in a relationship with them in some way, shape, or form, it harms them. This conversation could go on for a while, but it does get people thinking. When you first ask that question, okay, you're saying, like, as long as I don't harm anybody else, and then you have to ask, like, does only thinking of your own personal freedom, can it harm others? But this, we desire them now to engage them mentally. But the next question, I believe, will engage them spiritually. And that's where we're going to spend the bulk of our time and the bulk of our examining the scriptures. And this question is this. Can you love other people and still have freedom to do what you want? Can you love other people and still have freedom to do what you want? Remember, the question is this. Why can't I be free to do what I want as long as it doesn't harm other people? So the person asking this question values relationship, don't they? They value a relationship. They say, okay, you know, I want to do what I want as long as it doesn't harm anybody else. I value other people. I don't want to hurt them. The person who's thinking this way realizes the importance of relationships. But if we are free to pursue all our selfish desires, eventually it will harm someone we love. Now, I want to use some examples. I'm going to start with the extreme and work our way down. The extreme example of this is if someone were to say, if I commit suicide, I'm only harming myself. Pretty extreme, right? Is it only harming themselves? No. It's harming every person that they love. I would even venture to say that it's harming people that they don't love because then they see it, hear about it, and they're distraught about it. They're like, man, I can't believe that happened. Why would somebody do that? You know, I didn't even really know that person, but it's so disturbing to see that they would do that. Here's a common one. If I want to do something that is unhealthy, smoke, eat badly, do something that is like not good for my physical well-being, it's my body, I could do whatever I want. Does that harm anyone? Well, I'll tell you what. In March, my dad died of COPD after smoking for 50 years. And I'll tell you, as a son of a man who lost his dad, watched him deteriorate, and then untimely death that we were not prepared for, and then cleaning up everything afterwards, I'll tell you what, my brother and I, our wives, our kids, we all kind of feel the same way. We're upset about this. There's harm to our family because my dad decided to do something that didn't harm anyone else. You see how this goes? You see how when we do things, even if they're within ourselves, if we value community and love other people, there's going to be some outworking. Here's another one. This is extreme as well. A lot of men will say this. If I want to look at pornography, I'm not hurting anyone. Well, the truth is you're supporting an industry that abuses and objectifies women. Secular studies actually found that looking at those images can negatively impact your brain waves, which will impact the way that you interact with your spouse and other people. Well, I'm doing it in the privacy of my own home. It's not harming anybody. Well, here's the problem. It actually is. This is actually the reason why when you read in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus takes sin to like this crazy level. Remember that? He says, you know what? Not only it said don't commit adultery, but don't lust because you're sinning in your heart. Because basically out of our heart, right, our personal space, our personal freedom, everything else flows. There's going to be some negative impact that's going to flow out of your mouth, out of your actions, the way that you live. So the person who's saying, as long as I don't harm anyone else, if they really truly value relationships, they're going to come to the conclusion at some point, if I really truly do love people around me, the things that I do in my personal life can and will actually harm other people. Here's the truth. God created us to be in community. And in community, we're never totally free. Do you realize that? In community, we're never totally free, but that's not a bad thing. It's actually not a bad thing. These freedoms that some people feel that they lose by placing their faith in Jesus and heeding to his commands are actually designed to help us live in community with other people, love other people, and experience love coming from other people. You know, I want you to look at Philippians 2, 4 through 8. I told you we'd get there eventually. Philippians 2, 4 through 8. And this is where we need to look and see Jesus had freedom, but here's what he did. Jesus exemplifies love by giving up his freedom for us. Think about this for a second. Think about this for a second. Jesus exemplified how much he loves you and me by giving up his freedom for us. Let's look at Philippians 2, 4 through 8. It says this, "Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." So now here's what Paul does in Philippians. He says, okay, don't only think of yourselves. Think of the interests of other people. Don't only think of yourselves. Think of the interests of other people. But then he goes on, the mindset that we should have is the mindset of Christ. The King of the universe, the very God of this universe, actually stepped down, gave up his freedom to come and die in our place for our sins, to pay for our sins. Hey, listen to me. This is the crux of what you and I want to bring to our friends and family members that don't believe. Jesus loves you so much that he was willing to die on the cross to pay the price for your sins. 3 days later, he rose again to prove that he was God. The Bible says that all who believe will have eternal life. See, Jesus shows you and me and the whole world that he loves us so much that he was willing to give up his freedom. See, the truth is, when you love God, you don't look at the commands, you don't look at his commands as giving up freedom or something burdensome. You actually find joy in following them because you understand that he gave up his freedom for you. But think about this. Interestingly enough, what was the freedom Jesus gave up? Was it freedom to pursue selfish desires? No, it was the freedom he gave up. It was everything good, holy, and pure in the heavenlies with his Father in heaven, the enjoyment of fellowship with his Father in heaven. People are fighting for freedom. Oh, I want to do whatever I want as long as it doesn't harm anybody. Most of the time, those things are sinful things. Because when does somebody not have the freedom to do something good, holy, and pure? Who's coming in saying, you can't do that anymore? That's too nice, okay? Nobody does that, okay? You want people to do stuff that benefits community and people. See, when people are fighting for their freedom, they're fighting for the freedom to do whatever they feel like doing, even though other people might say it's wrong. That's why people accuse Christianity. It's like, oh, you can't legislate morality on us. You can't tell us what to do in our own personal lives and this and that. It's like, well, guess what? We're not trying to tell you what to do. We're trying to tell you what God's design is for a person and how fulfillment is, how we have fulfillment and how we experience love amongst other people and how we live in community. Think about it this way. For those of you who have fallen in love before, okay, you might remember back, you know, 10, 20, or 30 years ago when you first met your spouse. You met that person and what did you do? You studied them. What makes them happy? Truthfully, you gave up freedom to make them happy, right? You went out of your way. Things that you used to not do, you do now because you're like, oh, I want to make that person happy. I love them so much. I want to do something to benefit them. Was that bad? Was that bad that you did that? I mean, you found an immense amount of fulfillment in it. You're like, oh, man, I'm head over heels over this person. I want to do everything to make them happy. I'm free to do whatever I want, so to speak. But I want to use my time and my energy and my focus to actually make them happy. You wanted to because you were interested in their desires, not just your own desires. Your own desires almost took second seat, didn't they? Because you were so enthralled with this person. You loved them so much. So I would suggest this. Giving up freedom for someone you love is not a burden, but it actually brings joy. Now, this is where we as Christians can interact with the non-Christian world to let them know, like, hey, I don't look at God's commands as a burden. I actually find joy in following after the Lord and doing what he desires me to do. Because when I do those things, I find fulfillment. I find purpose. I find joy. I want you to turn to Matthew 11. That was a scripture reading for today. First book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says this. Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what that's telling us? As a believer, it's not a burden to follow the commands. It's not a burden to follow after the Lord. It's actually a joy. It actually releases burden. Do you know when people are trying to make their own rules, they're creating their own burdens because they're trying to find fulfillment. They're trying to find fulfillment in other things that will never fulfill them. You know, remember, when somebody's asking this question, it's not a fight. We're trying to teach them about what the Lord says, about what's going on inside of us. I mean, I know many of you don't find the commands of the Lord to be burdensome because you know that he loves you and he gave up that freedom for you. So you giving up this perceived freedom to do the wrong thing is not a burden at all. But let me ask you a question. What happens when you stop doing those things and you seek after your own good? Or in other words, you exercise your own freedom in a relationship. Hey, remember that person that you loved? You're like, oh, I want to woo him now. Now, okay, I got him now. Okay, everything's going to go like, you know that feeling maybe. Okay, the relationship changes a little, doesn't it? The relationship changes not because the person you love is not getting what they want, but they don't feel as loved because now you're putting yourself first. So it's this fight now. There's tension because you're grasping for freedom and now you're looking at the other person as an enemy of your freedom. And I've talked to a lot of married couples, and you know, it's always a head shaker. I'll use that again. I use that for months. The head shaker is when he doesn't let me do this, she doesn't let me do that. I'm like, man, do you know that love is actually releasing the person to do the things that they love to do, as long as they're not wrong things? It's actually giving them the space. It's actually helping them to understand, you know what, I love you so much. I know that makes you happy. I want to release you to actually do that. Not you're staying with me, whether you like it or not, okay? That's not it, okay? That's not love. And that's not how God looks at us. He's not like, you're going to do this whether you like it or not. So often the person that asks this question, why can't I be free to do what I want as long as it does not harm anyone else? They actually look as God as the enemy to their freedom. They need to realize this. He loves them so much, he was willing to give up his freedom for them. That's the thing. That's the crux of it. When you're talking to this person, you're like, you're looking at God the wrong way. You're looking at him as this mean God that's stomping around saying, everybody must do exactly what they're supposed to do, or you're going to be in trouble this minute. That's not the God of the scriptures. They've not trusted in Jesus, so they don't fully understand what true freedom looks like. Check out this verse on the screen behind me. John 8:31-32. It says this. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in me and my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus said to who? The ones that were believing, right? The Jews that were believing. And he's saying, you know what? Here's a good prescription for life. Abide in me and what I say, you're going to experience truth. And when you experience that truth, it will set you free. Most of you here know this. When you've been going down the path of following after Jesus, you feel an immense amount of freedom. When you're going away from Jesus and turn your back, you don't find freedom, do you? And you know why? Because the scriptures actually says you're being a slave to the sin. And that's why you don't find freedom. That's why you don't find fulfillment. So why does the truth set us free? Well, the first and foremost is what we always preach here each week. And that it sets us free from the penalty of sin. You and I know this. We are not going to pay for our sin for eternity. We're set free from the penalty of sin. But then think about this next. Think about this. Another part is the Holy Spirit lives in us. And when we have the Holy Spirit working in our heart, here's what happens. We look at his commands, and his commands actually give us freedom. Listen to Hebrews 8:10. It says this, for this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds. I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Here's what happens. The truth sets us free, because now we look at the commands and we realize God has given me guidelines, things that are going to be beneficial for me. And if I follow after those things, and if I follow his counsel and his wisdom, that's where I'm going to experience the most freedom in my life. Not holding on to my own selfish, sinful desires. So here's the thing, and you know, and I have to confess to you, this has been a struggle for me. Like, even preparing this first sermon, and I'm sure this is going to happen for all of the sermons. If you've noticed, if you've sat under my teaching for the time that you have, normally I have this big idea, and all the points support the big idea, right? Okay, if you've been taking notes, you know that this one was a little bit out there as far as organization-wise goes. It's organized, but it doesn't have that nice bow on it. You know, okay, go and do this, and everybody's smiling, okay? Because here's the thing. We're interacting with people that can't fully understand what we understand, so here's our call. We have to understand it for ourselves and then go out and live it and talk about it and preach it to the people around us. It's only going to be the work of the Holy Spirit that actually helps them to fully grasp the true freedom they will have in Christ. But God has called us to understand it ourselves so that we're not afraid to interact with people when they throw that question in, when they look at God as their enemy of their freedom and their fun and all the cool things that they think they want to do that are not going to bring them fulfillment. Here comes you, the Christian, that not only trusts in Jesus Christ, but you actually see his law as freedom, as something that brings fulfillment and something that helps you to go through life without that heavy burden that you've been carrying called sin. So my prayer for you is that you're actually going through life like that, not carrying that heavy burden. You know, maybe there's something going on right now in your life where you're just like, yeah, I do see God's commands as like annoying and burdensome. Well, something's going on in your heart then. You got to look at God and say, you know what, God, like you love me so much. You died for my freedom. You died so I could be freed from sin. You gave up freedom for me. There's nothing that I could look at you, God, and say, you know what? You don't want the best for me. There's nothing that I could do that. You got to come to that conclusion and realize that God loves you. He cares deeply for you. He wants you to experience freedom. He also wants you to experience that freedom so you can spread that freedom to other people. So in this whole series now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to deal with issues like this, with questions like this. My prayer is that you'll be equipped. My prayer is that you'll be at peace with some of the questions that maybe you weren't at peace with before. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. I thank you for each person that's here. I thank you, Lord, for the freedom that